Previously on This Week in Geek.
Harley, I love you, but you are the worst podcasting cat ever. I don't know why you have this fascination of, like, sitting on my keyboard and on my lap and everything anytime I try to do a podcast.
Hi, this is Steve Snowball Sailor, and you're listening to 10 Years of This Week in Geek.
Did you grow up with the NES, PlayStation, Star Wars, cartoons, and 80s TV? Do you like to think who would win in a fight between Batman and the Master Chief? Comics, games, movies, music, and TV, they're gonna tell you everything you need. Superheroes or not, they got your back. They're gonna save the world of geeks. Movies, music, and TV, they're gonna tell you everything you need. Superheroes or not, they got your back. They're gonna save the world of geeks. This Week in Geek. This Week in Geek.
Hello and welcome to the Nerd News Network here on ThisWeekInGeek.net. I am, of course, TFG and Mike. Joining me this week is Ryan the Uneven Flow Merkley.
Yo.
And Mike the Birdman Dodd, he's a limited edition kind of basis right now until he comes back full time in the summer. And he told us that he was kind of feeling like a really, really rotten chocolate starfish and hot dog flavored water. So, you know, his biscuit is going to be limping around for a little while.
Ladies and gentlemen, introducing the chocolate starfish and the hot dog flavored water.
But, ladies and gentlemen.
All right, sorry. What? So, you managed to reference the only band in the history of the world that might be shittier than Nickelback, so good job there.
Besides Justin Bieber.
No.
Come on now. Anyway. So, ladies and gentlemen, you're going to have to wait till the end of the show to get the details on this, but we are giving away a Logitech keyboard, and it is awesome. It is very cool. You'll have to listen to the whole episode of Nerd News to hear about how you could win your very own Logitech keyboard at the end of this episode of Nerd News. Anything you want to bring up before we dive into the stories, before we get into the discussion of a certain teaser trailer and all that good stuff?
Yeah, I needed a new keyboard about 3 months ago, so where the hell was that then? You guys could have, like, given me one in lieu of, I don't know, actually paying me at some point.
Okay. Alrighty then, jumping right in, my first story. These three dudes drove 1,000 miles to try the only McDonald's pizza in America. Why is McDonald's having pizza in America? What the hell? Like, seriously?
Don't you remember the McDonald's pizza?
No.
Really? It was actually really good.
No, I do not remember the McDonald's pizza.
Yeah, it was pretty good. They did it in all of North America.
It says the summer of 89, so I was 9 years old back then. I was more into, you know, a
so
Big Mac, awesome. Large fries, and a chocolate shake.
Oh, the hell with that. Plus, like, the Ninja Turtles liked pizza, so.
Yeah, but there's no Ninja Turtles on this pizza box. It's just the McDonald's arches.
Oh, it didn't matter. You were being like the Ninja Turtles when you ate pizza.
Ninja pizza? Well, what do you know?
Rock, dudes. Do you realize what this is? The crucial piece of evidence we were looking for?
The clue which will lead us to the heart of the evil ninja empire?
Nah, even better! It's a place where we can get some pizza! Right on!
Okay, I'll head up there and check it out.
No, April. It's too dangerous. You wouldn't last 5 minutes in a ninja pizza parlor. I love saying lines like that.
We better go with you, April.
That's right. And besides, we're hungry!
That's an even bigger stretch than my Limp Bizkit joke.
No, it's not.
Yes,
that was the whole reason. Like, pizza and everything took off, especially amongst kids at that time.
No, you're right. It did. Oh wow, there's actually a video in this story about their trip here.
Was it of United Airlines beating the shit out of their passengers?
Oh, God.
What?
Alrighty then.
Hey,
so yes,
a real video that's going.
Yeah,
on.
I know. McDonald's has pizzas.
They used to, but yeah.
They used to, yes.
I wouldn't drive 1,000 miles for one, but they were pretty solid. I remember I enjoyed them, but
okay.
I don't know. I've probably had much better pizza since then.
Hmm. So you wouldn't drive 1,000 miles, but would you walk 500 miles?
Oh man, I was gonna sing that at the end. Now you ruined it.
So yeah, that's something that happened this week. What do you got for your first story?
Nothing. I thought we would go over this. No, I don't know. The one thing I wanted to mention or bring up that I find really interesting. So, did you watch the most recent season of X-Files?
No, I have not watched X-Files since the Fight the Future film.
Oof. All right, anyway. So, the recent season was super-duper up and down. But having said that, Mulder and Scully, as in... You know, David Duchovny and Gillian Anderson.
Yes.
Are going to be doing X-Files Cold Cases, which is going to be an audiobook/audio play featuring the return of an awful lot of the characters. So, I mean, they've got Skinner, Cigarette Smoking Man, the Lone Gunman, so who apparently are alive at this point. Oh, man, that was another mistake that series made. Anyway, so the book comes to Audible on July 18th. It's based on a series of comics that was actually written or co-written by Chris Carter.
Mm-hmm.
So they're essentially canon, one would assume, at least, anyway. And so, yeah, I mean, the last season of X-Files was up and down, so this might be the... last sort of chance we get with X-Files, but I like the idea of this, and I like the doing it as audio. Obviously, it doesn't matter that, you know, time has passed and people's appearances have changed significantly, i.e. people have aged.
Yes.
And it's a neat idea. I kind of wish more of the shows, especially ones that didn't necessarily get a finale or anything like that. It's not a bad idea to do these,
yeah.
Especially since audiobooks and the audio plays, thanks to places like Audible and others. Do we have a sponsorship with them? Every other podcast does.
No.
Aw, man. Maybe if I pimp them out more. But anyway, no, it is a good service, though. And audiobooks in general seem to be making a pretty strong comeback. And the idea of audio plays based on and using actual characters from different TV series, to me, is a really neat one. Doctor Who's been doing really good stuff with former doctors and companions, people who, because of the passage of time, they can't really do, you know, especially considering they're not supposed to age since it's Doctor Who.
Yeah.
It just makes sense in that case. And, yeah, X-Files is another one. They could tell some really neat stories.
So what you're saying here is that it's Duchovny and Anderson actually voicing the characters, right?
Yes. They have the actual actor. Each of the people I listed, it's the actual actors who played them, like Skinner, Cigarette Smoking Man, and the Lone Gunman, etc., are actually played by the actors and actresses that played them. So.
Okay, good, because I will say right now, I know just by listening to you talk about this for the few minutes that we've talked about it, you really enjoy audiobooks. I usually enjoy audiobooks, but only if they are autobiographical and the actual person, like... if you listen to Dan Gilvezan's Bumblebee and Me, Life of a G1 Transformer, that's Dan doing the audiobook, reading that book to the listener. That's his perspective, his story. I couldn't listen to that audiobook if it was not Dan Gilvezan. You know what I mean? Like, I've got a friend of mine. She's one of my neighbors here in the building I live in. And she loves listening to audiobooks. And I listened to a couple of them with her, one time when I was up at her apartment. And she's like... I was like, So wait, it's just one narrator doing male and female voices? She goes, yeah. I'm like, there's no way I could listen to that. But if it's something like what you're talking about, where it's all, like you said, audio plays, where it's different, oh man, that is going to be awesome if they do
it
that.
It does depend on the person who's doing them, though, too. Because, for example, one of my favorites is Stephen Fry doing all of The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy books.
Uh-huh.
I mean, those are fantastic, and Fry is good enough and entertaining enough that it doesn't bother me that he's, you know, doing all parts. And there's some others. I mean, Jeffrey Mays, who does the Expanse audiobooks, is really good. Although those are books that I've also, you know, read. But I keep all this stuff on my iPods or my iPod whenever it gets really quiet at work, or I don't feel like talking to anybody.
Yeah, I've got a bunch of audiobooks, and I just now downloaded the Audible app onto my Windows 10 machine. I think the one that I was looking forward to most recently, and I know I'm cheesy as hell, but I don't care. They were my favorite duo in the 80s. They still are. One half of Hall & Oates put out a new book, a new memoir, and I figured, oh, he must be doing the audio part of it, and it's partially him, but it's some other narrator, and I was kind of disappointed in it, but I had a free Audible trial, so it's not like I actually paid for it. You know how they give you the 2 free credits and all that, so anyway, audiobooks, yay, and X-File audio plays. That, even though I'm not that much of an X-Files fan, that does sound awesome for that show and any old show that is no longer around.
I think it'd be particularly fun if they were to go through some of the old scripts too, and maybe do some, you know, horror episodes that they couldn't afford to do because it was television or stuff like that. I think it'd be neat to hear that. I was about to say see, but that doesn't really work anyway.
Yeah, that is very, very cool. That sounds like a really, really, really good idea. All right, so Mike pointed this out to us. It is, YouTube will no longer allow creators to make money until they reach 10,000 lifetime views. Basically, 5 years ago, YouTube opened up their partner program. It meant anyone in the world could sign up for the service, start uploading videos, and immediately begin making money. And of course, this model helped YouTube grow into the web's biggest video platform, but it has also led to some problems. People were creating accounts that uploaded content owned by other people. Not good. So now, basically, what's going to happen, YouTube has announced a change to its partner program today. From now on, creators won't be able to turn on monetization until they hit 10,000 lifetime views on their channel. YouTube believes that this threshold will give them a chance to gather enough information on a channel to know if it's legit and won't be so high as to discourage new independent creators from signing up for the service. Now, here's the thing. I fully understand this about just an average Joe like me. I've had my YouTube channel since 2008, I think. I used to do a lot of videos on it myself. I didn't join the partner program until God knows when. It was years later. But I don't do a lot of stuff on YouTube. I know several people who do, but they've been doing it consistently for 5 or 6 years now, and they've been consistently making money on it. So, like Transformers toy reviews and things like that, and other toy reviews. For actual, I don't want to say actual creators, for creators that are Hollywood types that want to start like a short film and things, I think this is kind of a little harsh, but for the everyday YouTube user, I think this is great because, again, it cuts out the scammers. What did you think when you saw this one?
Well, of course, Mike posted about this because he's still waiting for this show, which has been running for, what, like 10 years to hit 10,000 downloads. But,
Oh, dude!
anyway, I don't really have a problem with this. I feel like the longer discussion is just the fact that YouTube, I mean, for anyone who doesn't know this as well, the amount that people are getting paid is significantly less
than it was 5 years. Yeah.
And people like our friend, you know, Spada, Balt Matrix, for example, he makes significantly less than he used to. Now, in his case, it's not that big a deal because he's basically doing stuff he would do anyway. And it's not, you know, his sole amount of income. But for some people, it is. Or for some people, it's just sort of necessary, that yeah. kind of thing. So, yeah, I mean, one of the other issues with this as well, I think the other reason is, to be blunt, this time period of time where YouTube was paying out, you know, pretty much everybody and that kind of thing, it wasn't sustainable. No. I mean, YouTube, pretty much since its inception, YouTube has been hemorrhaging money. Like, it may be a huge organization, that kind of thing, but they've been bleeding money pretty much.
Since day one.
Yeah, so.
Yeah, what's so funny is when Mike showed us this story in our little group message thing, the first thing I thought of was the Johnny Test episode Snoob Tube, where they basically make fun of this exact situation where so many people were making money off of it that they were no longer doing the big thing, whatever. I don't think this is going to hurt it's going to hurt new creators more than it is going to hurt someone that's been on the platform for the last 5.5 years or more. And obviously the partner program opened up to everybody 5 years ago, but I'm saying someone that's been on YouTube for that amount of time, I don't think this is going to be a problem for them, especially if they have more than the, obviously, 10,000 views. But it's interesting that everyone assumes that you can just grab a camera, shoot some video, and get rich. Like, YouTube is the newest 3 a.m. get-rich-quick scheme, and it's not.
And neither was podcasting, because, you know, I've been doing it for, like, a decade now, and I still haven't been paying... Oh, anyway.
Hey, you have no... You could just stop right the fuck there. You can... No. You cannot say shit, because I've been doing it for... I'm 2 years away from a decade. Actually, I'm a year away from actually doing it a decade, and the GCRN is a year away from being 10 years old, but 2 years away from that, but... Have I gotten donations from people and things like that? Yes. Have I gotten a steady regular paycheck? No. And honestly, I'm kind of glad. Like, I love it when people donate to me, or if I say, hey, I've done all this content all year long, but I kind of need some help here and there and whatever else, or if you want this content to happen, you know. And most of the time when I ask for stuff from people, it's like a Comixology gift card, so I can get some comics to read in the pull bag, or, you know, so we can do a, you know, a Transformers episode or a Turtles episode or whatever. You know, I'm not actually asking people to send me cash. That's just something I would not do unless, you know, my mom passes away or something, which that did happen. But that's the other thing where it's like, I am so enthralled with the job of every aspect of doing the podcasting. Are there times I get frustrated with it? Yeah. Are there times that I've been very frustrated with it? Yeah. But if I got paid, it would feel more like, oh my God, I have to do this. Where I can wake up every morning and decide, okay, I'm going to edit these 5 podcasts by noon, and I'll have 5 weeks of content right there. Because most of my podcasts I release weekly. You know. Which actually brings me to... There was an article last year, I think. I don't even know. I'd have to go back in my Facebook saved links and look for it. There was an article I saw last year that said something about one guy on the internet is like, whatever you do, do not start a podcast. Just don't do it. There are too many out there. Oh, God. So yeah, YouTube. Anything else from you, or should we take a break and come back and talk?
Well, I'm a high demand freelancer, so I feel like, you know, I should be getting paid a ton. Oh, anyway. What?
The self-deprecating humor. Gotta love it, folks.
That wasn't self-deprecating. I was saying I'm high demand, and I should be paid well.
Mm-hmm.
Jeez, you're no fun.
Yeah, you can't get blood out of a stone, dude.
You can from a United passenger.
Oh, on that note, we're going to take a quick break. You guys can hear the Thor Ranger Rock trailer, whatever the hell it's called. And we'll be back after this.
Now I know what you're thinking. How did this happen? It's a long story.
Asgard is dead.
Today, tell me.
A contender.
It's main event time.
Each other. He's a friend from work.
Oh, come on.
We are back here on This Week in Geeks Nerd News Network. I'm, of course, TF2 and Mike, joined by Ryan the Uneven Flow Merkley, Mr. Pearl Jam himself. Wow, that was... almost came out wrong. And the Thor Ragnarok trailer came out.
Ragnarok.
Whatever.
There's no rang. It's not a bell.
Well, I just rung it, and he's a psychologist, so he's a robot psychologist. Anyway, so the trailer came out, and I don't know about you. I don't remember what you've said about the previous two Thor movies, but... I was never impressed with either one of them.
No, they're all right. I mean, I don't know. They're all right, but that's about it. There's not great. They're not terrible or anything either. They're very forgettable, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't know. There was something about them that didn't resonate. And yeah, the
Thor movies, the way I look at them is they're very middle of the road for Marvel. They're not on, they're in between being as horrible as Elektra and as good as Iron Man 2.
I'd probably rank them higher than Iron Man 2. I wouldn't have even used them in the same sentence as Elektra, which is an atrocity.
But that's what I'm saying. They're in the middle of the quality of a Marvel movie, even though I know Elektra isn't in the current MCU. It's still a Marvel damn movie, people. But the Thor 3 trailer came out, and it's hilarious. I loved it. I thought it was great.
It works better, I'd argue. I'd say it works better than the entire films that kind of have for... Yeah. I mean, we don't know how it's going to turn out, obviously, but it's a good start. I mean, I'm a lot more excited for this one, I think, than the other two films. Just because, it feels like the tone is a little lighter. It's kind of the... Doctor Strange as written by Jason Aaron, kind of more fun, humory tone, which I think works better. Because, I don't know, when Thor takes himself seriously and that kind of thing, I'm just not sure that it works as well.
Yeah, so the reason why I have never been a fan of the Thor movies is Thor, to me, even though he has a different power set, even though he is the God of Thunder, Thor, to me, is the MCU's version of Superman.
That'd be Sentry, but anyway.
Okay, well, I'm saying guy from a distant planet or world that comes to Earth and tries to fit in, but then has to go back to his, granted, you know, yeah, Asgard.
His planet wasn't blown up.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Granted, his planet or his world was not blown up, but what I'm saying is, in that first film, he tries his best to fit in, and he fails, I think. Whereas Superman did fit in, too, because he obviously was sent there as a baby. But that's what I'm saying. Like, we want to be able to look at Thor and say, oh, there's certain things about you that I can relate to. Any of Thor's characterization in the movie universe specifically, I can't relate to any of it. I just don't care. The only time I enjoy Thor is when he and Hulk are beating each other up. That's really the only time I enjoy it, is when he's interacting with the other Avengers.
I don't know. I think he works pretty well in the MCU. Just, I don't know. I think he works better here. With what they're doing now. I like the idea of it being a little more, or at least Thor being a little less serious. I don't want it to end up being a Guardians of the Galaxy clone or something like that, but as long as they avoid, you know, having a witty sort of ensemble cast, I don't think it'll fall into that. I don't know. It looks good. They've got, new director, obviously, and Hemsworth, I mean, the one thing I've always loved about his Thor is you can tell he's pretty clearly having fun with it.
Mm-hmm.
He and Evans, I find, just seem to really enjoy each other. Enjoy playing. Sorry. Each of them enjoys playing their characters.
Wow.
They definitely do, like, enjoy the scenes and stuff together, though, so.
Yeah. Oh Lord. I'm interested in the new Thor movie, but I'm not that interested in it that I'll see it in theaters. I honestly, folks, I don't see a lot of movies in theaters anymore. I just don't go.
Did you go see Logan?
Not yet. I know I need to.
It was really good.
I know I need to. I know I need to see it, but I have not seen it yet. It's not even about that I don't want to go see these movies. It's more so for me, it's about the convenience of getting to the movie theater. It takes either a 6-block walk, which I'm not complaining about the actual walking, I'm just complaining about the distance between my apartment and a bus stop, or a 2-block walk and then having to take 2 different buses to get to a movie theater. Because I don't drive. So, yeah, that's, yeah. That's why I just wait for media release most of the time. All right, folks. That's pretty much going to do it for us here on the Nerd News Network. As I said in the very beginning of the show, we are giving away a Logitech keyboard. And in order for you to win this keyboard and get Logitech to send it to you, here's what you got to do. Email... I believe Mike wanted me to ask everyone to use his Mike at thisweekingeek.net address now. Email Mike at thisweekingeek.net telling us in 140 characters or less, so basically a Twitter update, why you love, enjoy, and can't stop playing the Mass Effect franchise. And you could win a Logitech G810 Orion Spectrum keyboard.
But if you bring up Andromeda, we'll know you're lying. No, I'm just kidding. It wasn't that bad. Anyway, I ended up with one of the more positive reviews I noticed on Metacritic. So, Which is funny, because on pretty much everything else, I'm under the average. And then my movie average, although part of that is because on Rotten Tomatoes, my critic movie average is like in the gutter. But part of that is because I swear, they just make me review the shittiest films. The joke whenever, one of the jokes going around whenever Michael Bay said that he'd think there'd be 14 Transformers movies was everybody was saying like, yeah, we'll get him on this. Like, yeah, thanks, assholes.
But, folks, if you do want to hear Ryan talk about Transformers stuff he loves, you can head on over to GeekCastRadio.com and check out the Pullbags, Autobotly April. We are going through volumes 6 through 10 of both IDW's ongoing series, More Than Meets the Eye and Robots in Disguise, and you can check those out over there. What else do you want to bring up before we get the heck out of here?
That's about it. There's nothing else to happening.
Alrighty, then. Yeah, so join us next time for the Nerd News Network here on This Week in Geek, thisweekingeek.net. For now, I am TFG1 Mike with
Brian the Even Flow.
And now here is Statler and Waldorf.
That was wonderful.
Bravo.
I loved that.
Oh, it was great.
Well, it was pretty good.
Well, it wasn't bad.
Well, there were parts of it that weren't very good, though.
It could have been a lot better.
I didn't really like it.
It was pretty terrible.
It was bad.
It was awful.
It was terrible.
Get him away.
Hey, boo.
Boo.
Want to see me make bubbles with my spit?
Sure do. In fact, that's the theme of our next show. So don't miss it.
What the hell happened to George Lucas?
Remember, kids, buy pizza, pay with steak.
What's your social media business card? My fist.
Just give me a big box of beef.
Don't give them ideas.
Don't forget our other twig project, GeorgeLucasHasLostHisMind.com.
Does Jesus have Matrix powers?
I think the Pillsbury Doughboy is albino.
I'd like to see a cat on Tourette's.
That's the moment I give up on life. Because then I don't know what to believe in anymore. When the Amish start twittering, I'm done.
I still say if the Amish start twittering, I'm done.
Can we leave this subject alone?
Hello.
I can feel it coming in the air tonight. Oh no.
Hi, Chris. How are you?
I'm confused. As you can imagine, they don't let us out much.
You've been listening to This Week in Geek. Tune in next week to hear Kyle Hebert say...
Today, the world. Tomorrow, the universe. Next week, my chiropractor. Oy, my back.
Check out our website, thisweekingeek.net, for more geek content, as well as subscribe to our podcast through iTunes or any podcatcher. If you'd like to comment about this episode, head to this episode post on thisweekingeek.net and comment through Facebook Connect. Or you can also call our voicemail line at 817-717-7202 or email us at feedback@thisweekingeek.net. This extra music was produced by PerpetualEmotionMachine.ca. We'll see you next time, and remember,
lower your shields and surrender your listenership.